Oh, that you would bless me indeed. It needs to be faster. Can you speed it up? So, dun, dun, two, three, four. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. One, two, three. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And enlarge my border, that your hand would be with me, that you'd keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. Oh, when I call on your name, oh, that you would bless me, that your hand would be with me. Okay, here we go. From the top. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And enlarge my border, that your hand would be with me, that you'd keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. Oh, when I call on your name, oh, that you would bless me, that your hand would be with me. Thank you, team. Thank you, Dave. Praise God. How many of you were around when that song came out? I mean, when that prayer came out. Remember the guy who did the prayer of Jabez? Well, that's a song I wrote about that time. And I just wanted to go over it briefly this morning. So, I got one sheet of paper this morning. Someone say that looks promising. Okay, God wants to bless you this year. Did you know that?
Yes.
One of the words I got from God for this year was it's going to be a year of increase. A year of increase in your finances, over your family, in your emotions, in your relationships. Things are going to get better. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's a great word for salvation, isn't it? Nothing missing, nothing broken. John, I'm a little cold. Is anyone else a little chilly? Shall we just shut that thing down? No, just push the stop button, the orange stop button. And it should go away. Did it go away? Ugh, middle of winter. All right. So, you know, God wants to bless you this year. Let's make that personal, shall we? Say me. Turn to the person next to you and say, God wants to bless you. Okay. Now, there are a few conditions to that. Like, we actually need to believe that God is good. Someone say, God is good. And that he wants to be good. See, there's two different things right there. I don't know if you caught that. God is good, and God wants to be good. Those are two different things. Now, we've got to the point where we easily believe now that God is good. Amen. Is anybody here who has any doubt about that? Is God good?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got that one. God is good, but God wants to be good.
Right.
Now that's a little different. That's taking it to another level. God wants to be good. What's the point in being good if you can't be good? Are you getting this? Oh, this is deep. Too deep for some of you. What's the point in being good if you can't be good?
Right.
Well, that's good. I'm a dad, and I'm just dreaming up ways I can put money aside for my kids so I can help them buy a house later on, because they haven't got a dog show right now, not with the price of houses. So I'm making plans. And Jesus said, if you being evil know how to be good to your children, how much more, somebody say how much more, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to his children? How much more? Yeah. How much better is God than you or me? God is good. Now we're good to our kids, but how much gooder is God? Can you just think about that? How much gooder is God? Just a little bit gooder, or infinitesimally? Is that a word? I don't know. Yeah, he is, isn't he? So why would a good God not want to be good? He wants to be good, right? And so he has made tremendous plans for you this year.
Amen.
He has, he's got those angels working overtime. And I don't know, if I was God, I'd just create a few million more just to make sure that nobody missed out this year on the goodness. You know, there's a lie in the earth today. It goes like this. There's not enough food for everybody. There's not enough land. You know, we've got to curb the population growth. When was the last time you drove from the bottom of the South Island to the top of the North Island and all you saw was green and cow and sheep and empty paddocks? The garbage the news media wants us to... Well, you've got to understand, the prince of the power of the air is talking about the news media. It's talking about the garbage they feed you. God did not make this earth without enough room for us all to be very comfortable, because he's a good God. And the only reason there's starvation is because people do evil things. And there's wars and there's greed. And, you know, there's plenty. There's heaps. You know, they dump millions of tons of wheat every year just to keep the prices down. There's heaps for everybody. And you know, part of it is just part of the lie that there isn't enough, because the devil wants us to believe that God is somehow withholding from us. No, there's an abundance. There's an abundance of everything. Just say to somebody, there's an abundance of everything. You know, I haven't actually researched this, but they talk about, you know, we shouldn't be chopping down the trees or we won't have enough oxygen. But do you know, I'm pretty sure this is right, and you could check it out for me. Actually, I shouldn't say this because I don't know, but I would like to know how much those phytoplankton in the ocean, how much oxygen they produce. Probably more, tons more than the trees ever do. I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't be saying stuff I don't know, but I'm just putting it out there. Someone do some research. Find out what the percentage of oxygen production in the earth is done by the trees and how much is done by the ocean. Because you could get rid of every single tree and still have plenty of oxygen. Because the ocean is huge. And there's a ton of water. There's a ton of water. There's a ton of food. There's heaps of provision for everything that we need. And God wants to get it to you this year. That was a real good place to say amen. Now, there are some blockages that we have to deal with, and most of it has to do with our perception. our understanding and our unbelief and our past. We're moving into a new year. We're moving into our future. We're not moving into our past. Is that right? Can you just say that again for me?
Earth's 70% of oxygen in the atmosphere is produced by marine plants.
Okay. All right, so we could chop down every tree and we'd still have 70% of our normal production carry on. All right, so remember that the next time they say, stop cutting down trees, we're losing our oxygen, you say, phooey. Phooey to the prince of the air. There's plenty of air.
We need the trees,
though. You need the what? Oh, I'm not advocating we chop down trees. Have you been to my property lately? I'm the chief tree planter around Massey. I absolutely agree. No, I'm all for conserving the environment and looking after the planet. That's being a good steward of what God gave us. Of course, don't take out of context something. Don't say something that I don't hear something I never said. All I'm saying is that we're fed this garbage that there isn't enough, and it's because the Satan, he's trying to stop us from being blessed. Well, we're not going to let that happen, are we? Okay, so you've got bad moves from the past coming up from behind, ruining your present and trying to prophesy into your future. Sometimes it's really hard to move forward from a mistake if you've got all the stuff in your head talking to you about the past, you know. So you've got to talk back to it. I picked up a good saying the other day from a mate of mine. And you know how farmers, they have their farm dogs, and sometimes they get a bit keen and they run ahead of the shepherd. And what does he say? Get him behind. Get in behind, talking to a dog. Some of you need to talk to your past like that. Get in behind. Don't put up with that thing yapping at your heels. No. So you've got these bad memories coming about all the mistakes you've made in the past. Get in behind. Not putting up with you. You're not overtaking me into my present, into my future. Okay, so that's the first thing. You've got to let go of the past. And when you're looking forward into 2019 and you're setting your goals, try and picture, you know, God being with you and creating something really good for you, and looking ahead expecting those good things that he has for you.
Amen.
Thank you. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and let's have a look at where all this started. Genesis chapter 12, God was wanting to bless the human race. And he started with one man. It always starts with somebody, you know. Always starts with somebody. Genesis 12. So God says, okay, get out of your country, from your father's house to land I'll show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. The word bless means to empower, to prosper, to increase. And I'll make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Wow.
Yeah.
But Abram, he couldn't get it at first. He couldn't see it. Like, we think about Abraham being the father of our faith, and he was, and he is. But, you know, he struggled just like you and me. At first, he didn't have a framework for that. He didn't have a grid for how God was going to bless him. So we see, you know, constantly Abraham trying to unbless himself. God told him, okay, you know, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. You're going to have a child from your own loins. And, you know, you're going to be just blessed. You're just going to have so many grandchildren. You're going to fill the earth with all these kids. And Abraham couldn't quite believe it. He couldn't quite receive it because, like, he was 90 years old. So he starts looking at who he was. And when we think that God is going to bless us this year, the first thing we do is we look at us. And we think, well, that couldn't happen to me because I'm this or I'm that or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or, you know, and you've got all these excuses why it's not going to happen to you, because you're looking at you. And you fail to remember that it was actually God who said, I'm going to do this. If it was all about you, yeah, okay, that's the problem. But God said it's all about him, because he's the good one, and he's going to bless those who are unworthy, because that's just who he is. Remember, God wants to be good. And he's trying to find somebody who will give him a mental framework that he can create some pictures in so that he can be a blessing. Yeah. Because, you see, it's according to your faith. Yeah. God's not holding out on anybody. God wants to bless everybody. And some people get blessed and some people don't. God's not going, you will be blessed, and you won't be blessed. No. God wants to bless everybody. But it's according to your faith. He says, be it unto you according to your faith. So Abraham started off like you and me, but God gave him this promise, but Abraham couldn't get his brain around it. Okay, well, this couldn't happen to me because you fill in the blanks. I can't be blessed. Now you fill in the blanks. This isn't going to happen to me. Now you fill in the blanks. Now, Abraham had the same problem. And it took God about 10 years to get him to the point where he could actually believe it. I'm surmising that. Okay, it says Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. But how long did it take him to get to that place of faith? That's my question. And I know he struggled because he had Ishmael. Yeah. And he couldn't see God doing it through him and Sarah. So he slept with his wife Hagar and gave birth to Ishmael. So we see that in a moment of desperation, he's trying to help God out here. I really want God to be good to me. I really want this promise to be fulfilled. But I'm going to do it in my own strength. I'm going to do it on my own resources. I'm going to have to come up with something to make this happen. Now, it's true we have to cooperate with God. He does require us to walk some things out. But he promises us that he is the one who's going to be the blesser. Okay, he's the one who's going to be the blesser. He's going to make it happen. And the Bible says, what shall we do to work the works of God? And the answer is believe. That's not hard, but actually it's hard. I don't know why we make it hard, but what shall we do to work the works of God? Yes. Believe. Yes. In him who he sent. Believe. And that's not hard, but we make it hard. So 10 years down the track, Abraham, you know, he's given birth to Ishmael. And the Lord has to come back to him and says, Abraham, I said I'm going to bless you and make you the father of many nations. And Abraham says, oh, that the Lord might bless Ishmael. And he's trying to unbless himself. No, that's not what I said. I said you from your loins. So God's really got to work on work on Abraham. And then later on, Lot, his nephew, God starts to bless them because he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to empower you to prosper. I'm going to increase you. So his herds start growing and he really starts to become quite rich. But there's so much prosperity that they have to divide between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham because there's not enough room. So Abraham says, well, Lot, you take first pickings, you choose whatever you want, and then I'll take the leftovers. He's unblessing himself all the time. He's got such this low self-esteem thing going on here. You know, instead of thinking, hey, I'm the one God wants to bless. I'm not Lot. God promised me, so I should be taking all the good land. This is my inheritance. I want the best. No, Abraham defers to Lot. So then Lot takes all the plains of Canaan, which was the best land. And God says, Abraham, hello. I still got a plan here. You can try and sabotage my plan to try and bless you, but I still have a plan. See, we sabotage the goodness of God. Um, Because we just don't have a grid for it. We don't have a grid for how big God is and how big God wants to be for us. I'll give you a real practical illustration, and you can think of something too. But when I was in the States, I started putting out my music on the web, and I had about 9 churches in America. They never met me. They just emailed me, phoned me, and said, "We want you to come to our church in America, and we want you to do your secret place thing. We want you to sing your songs." And so we organized an itinerary, and Pam and I went over there. You remember, if you were here with us that long, and you guys helped send us, actually. Thank you very much. You're a great blessing. Helped pay for our tickets. You know, you got a reward in heaven. Did you know that? When I get to heaven and there's like, you know, all these millions of people come and say, "Ray, just thank you so much for your music." I say, "These two over here, they get to share my reward." When God's handing out my reward, I say, "Don't forget these two, because they didn't go, but they sent me." So that was just for free, by the way. Just okay. So we went over there, and you know, most of the churches were only about, you know, 100 people, some were 50, you know, about our size. But one of them was about 200-300 people, and boy, that was a stretch. I wasn't used to ministering to slightly larger churches. But anyway, it was a very, very successful meeting. The pastor's wife said it was the best meeting she'd ever been in her life, best message she'd ever heard in her life. That really encouraged me. I needed to hear that, you know, because we all struggle, don't we? But then he said, "There's a pastor in Pittsburgh. He's got a church of about 2,000 people. I really want you to minister in his church. He would love to have you." And I just changed the conversation straight away. I never got to go there. Why? I didn't have a framework. I didn't have a grid for that. I've never ministered to 2,000 people. It was too big for me. And that's God's problem with you right now. Your thinking is too small. God couldn't give me a church of 2,000 people because I was too small. And God can't bless you because you're too small. And my challenge to you is grow up. You don't want to grieve God, do you? All right. So that's what happens. You know, something good shows up and we're praying for something and then it happens. And then we, you know, a girl, for example, you know, she desperately wants to get married, but she believes nobody would want her. She thinks she's ugly or she's got this problem or whatever. So she meets somebody and, you know, and there's every chance that relationship could work, but she does something to sabotage it so that he won't love her. Because she deep down inside has this belief that she's unlovable. So, you know, we've got some work to do to change our thinking in order for God to prosper us, in order for God to bless us. So God says to Abraham, "Abraham, lift up your eyes from where you are, and everything that you can see is yours." How much can you see? How far can you see? What can you see? Because God said, "Everything that you can see, I will give to you." And see, he wants to bless us, but it's all dependent on what we can see. What can you see? How good is your God? How big is your God? How great is your God? Oh, we sing it. How great is our God? And I can't even wind down my window to sing to all the people I'm driving past because the thing doesn't work. And it doesn't have air conditioning. I'm talking about one of our other cars. So my daughters want to borrow the car that God gave us. Because those windows do work with a push of a button and does have air conditioning. And I can drive along the road and sing, "How great is my God," in that car, because that car is evidence of the greatness of God. But you know, we don't live these promises that God wants us to live in and walk in. I'm just trying to tell you that he's good this morning. He's really good. And he wants to bless you. So he says, "Lift up your eyes from where you are, and all that you can see I will give to you." Lift up your eyes from where you are, not from where you should be. See, so we think, oh, well, God can't bless me because this is where I am and God can't bless me from here. Yes, He can. God can bless you from where you are, not from where you should be. So you took a few turns for the worse and you made a few mistakes. That doesn't mean God can't bless you. He says, I want to bless you from where you are. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's hope from where you are. And as soon as you say, oh, but I should be here, or I should be there, or I should be this far down the track, well, you disqualify yourself from having faith for the future. There's hope for your kids from where you are, from where they are. There's hope for your kids from where they are. Lift up your eyes from where they are. Not from where they should be. If you look from where they should be, you'll get discouraged. But you look from where they are. Oh, Jesus, hallelujah. What can you see? What can you see? Have you got a picture for your kids and their future? How do you see them walking and talking and living? Finances, business. Oh, Lord, why is this not happening? Because we have a belief system. Sorry, we don't have a belief system that allows for it. We don't have a grid. We keep saying, when, God, when? When isn't a prayer. God can't even answer when. Sounds more like unbelief to me. I'm going to make your name great. Stop self-deprecating. Oh, God, I don't want to be great. No, give me a break. It's not about you. It's about you being a blessing. Hallelujah. Oh, you know, I'm going to have to finish this next week. Because it's 12 o'clock. Where did the time go? Will I try and finish this now? Will I go for another 10 minutes? Or do we all want to call it quits? Thank you, Jeremy. Need to start wrapping it up. You know what? Let's do this really quick. Go to Genesis chapter 1, 28, because this is so good. God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful. Stay with me now, because I'm going to go like a bullet out of a gun. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over every living thing. Okay. God blessed them. So the blessing has already been pronounced. All right? God has already blessed us. He's already said, be empowered to prosper. No, I'm going to have to finish this next week. There's too much here. I don't want to rush this. But what we are going to do is we're going to look at that prayer of Jabez. Prayer of Jabez was in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. And he says, oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And enlarge my border. Give me increase. Increase my sphere of influence. Enlarge my border. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. Oh, you bless me indeed. And enlarge my border. That your hand would be with me. That you'd keep me from evil. That I might not cause pain. Yeah. And see, the word Jabez means to make sorrowful. When his mother gave birth to him, she had so much pain that she called him pain. Yeah. And you know, with the Hebrews, when you name somebody something, that really meant something. Well, this guy, imagine being, hey, pain, come over here. Imagine being called pain. I mean, you've got them in your life. You know, this relative's coming for Christmas. Oh, what a pain, right? Well, you don't want anyone to think about you like that, do you? When they hear about you coming for Christmas, they think, yay, so-and-so's coming for Christmas. Well, they're thinking, oh, no, not pain, right?
Can I just finish And guess what it says after that? And the Lord gave him everything he asked for.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Well, I was getting to that. What? Okay. So he's praying, he's saying, God, I don't want to be a pain. Turn to the person next to you and say, there's hope for painful people. They can change. Yeah, and God did give him everything that he asked for. And you know, from then on, God really blessed him. But the point I'm trying to get across to us is we actually don't need to pray that prayer anymore. Because Ephesians 1:3 says, blessed be the God of our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Turn to the person next to you and say, God has blessed me. And I'm going to be a blessing. And Colossians 1:12, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. See, some of us say, oh, I don't feel like I'm really good. I'm not a good enough Christian. But the Bible says you are. It says you're qualified to receive the inheritance. You have been qualified to receive the blessing.